Welcome back to the Just Because podcast, a podcast about all things life and cosplay. It's me, your boy, it's Jeremy. I'm back again with another episode. And this time, joining us all the way from Melbourne, you may have seen them around before. They've been in the community for a long time. They are a host, they're a streamer, cosplay extraordinaire, they're on billboards, they're, I know, modelling for the Melbourne Exhibition Centre. It's the Gem Cosplay. Welcome, Gem.
Yo, hello. It's lovely to be here. It's my life goal to be on as many podcasts as possible because I love talking, so I am honoured to be here.
Well, thank you for joining me. And look, we love listening to you talk. That's why you're streaming. That's why it's like your thing right now. But have you done podcasts before? Or
I've done a couple episodes for, you know, when creators are like, this is going to be a thing I do, and then they do like one to two episodes and then they never do it again. Mm-hmm. I've been the first guest of many of those.
Really?
But I've never been on an ongoing series.
Well,
a successful ongoing series. Oh,
there you go. This is episode 32, I think. So there, you're not episode...
Yo.
Yeah, we're in it. We're in
That's
it.
Good. 32. Good work.
Yeah, well, we're doing our best. We've had some...
That's pretty impressive.
Well, we're doing our best. Head above water at the moment. Maya's gone, so we're going to have to pick up the slack that together we can do this. We got this. Anyway, so Gem, for anyone who doesn't know you, anyone who's tuning in for the first time and has never heard of Gem Cosplay, tell us a bit about yourself.
Okay, so despite having cosplay in my name, I don't really do cosplay anymore, but I would describe myself as I'm a streamer. I stream as a VTuber. I'm an esports caster. And I cosplay. Basically, I'm a content creator who's like heavily involved in esports and also the convention scene. So I work behind the scenes for esports and cosplay conventions and that sort of thing. But I'm basically like jack of all trades. I don't know what else I do. I guess I do general influencery things as well. But that's, to me, that's just part of like content creation.
Part of the creation process. Well, that's fair. Now,
yeah.
You said you don't really cosplay much anymore because the Gem Cosplay is still the tag. However,
I know.
That's fine because that's the whole point of, you know, this ongoing podcast series, this season, anyway.
It's true.
It's all about, you know, how cosplay has kind of influenced your life or your career choices or kind of how you have become the you are today because of cosplay. So we're going to go into a deep dive with small Gem, medium Gem, today's Gem. I've known you on, to be fair, I only talked to you, I think I've seen you around the scene, right? But I think we only talked a little bit at DreamHack last year.
Yeah, I remember.
So,
I think that's our like, first meeting where we were like, oh, we know who each other are. Cause like sometimes I meet people and it just completely slips over my head. Like if that I know them or if I don't know them, particularly in cosplay, I'm so bad at telling like who is who. So that's like the first time that we were like, hi, I'm Jeremy. Hi, I'm Jim.
Like, oh yeah. I don't know if we shook hands,
but we were like, oh yeah.
I distinctly remember that. Do you find that's a common experience in costume stuff these days? And like you see someone, you're like, I think I've seen them online. I think I know them.
Yeah.
Are you the kind of person who will just go up to them and say hi straight up? Or you're like,
No. I let people come to me. unless I'm like a huge fan of their content or... Honestly, I usually approach people if I really like their cosplay, like whether I know them or not. Like at PAX last year, every single World of Warcraft cosplayer, I was like, hello, I'm obsessed with you. You have no idea who I am, but I am obsessed with you.
Let's be friends.
I just need you to know. But I don't, if I know someone's at and I see them and I think they're cool, I'm not going up to them. If they want to come up to me, they come up to me.
Okay.
I get a little nervous. I don't know.
You? Being Gem Cosplay? The hosts?
Well, I don't like making the first move.
I like
being the second move.
So you're one of those.
And if someone comes up to me, I'll be chill.
So you're one of those attract, don't chase kind of people, are you?
With dating, I'm definitely a first mover because I just get bored. I'm like, I have.
Oh dear. We'll dive into that in a bit, but so right now, like streaming, you would say streaming or sports casting, is that like your main hustle? thing right now? Like,
yeah, thing? I would say they're kind of not interchangeable, but the Venn diagram is like becoming a circle with streaming and like esports for me, in that like when I stream, I talk about esports a lot, and casting is the thing I care most about, like. Definitely. Like, if I could just cast and not do cosplay or stream, I would probably just cast out of the three. And I'm making lots of active moves to cast more and be involved in things. Whereas streaming, I just kind of like let it grow naturally. And I don't like specifically try to like do any crazy shit or like, you know, go wild with like, emailing companies or like getting my name out there or promotion or anything. I just kind of like let it do its thing and let it grow
just
by itself.
Just letting it cook by itself.
Yeah, but casting, I'm emailing people all the time. I'm trying to network all the time. I'm practicing a lot, so it's like my number one. It's my number one jam at the moment. But I still care about streaming, and I care about cosplay to some degree. But casting is definitely like my number one.
Now, has casting kind of been like always the number one since day one, since Little Gem kind of picked up her first Game Boy kind of thing? Or is that something that you kind of discovered later?
I started cosplaying in 2009 when I was 10.
10?
Because my school, 10.
My God.
I was about to say 24.
They're starting real young.
Yeah, I went to a school where Japanese language was taught, and one of the years that our Japanese teacher was teaching us, she said, I want to do a Japanese summer festival in summer, and we're going to play all the traditional games you would at a Japanese summer festival, and you guys can like wear like traditional Japanese clothing or like fun costumes or whatever. And I was aware of cosplay at the time because it was like, I've always liked anime and I've always loved like Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball and whatever. But in grade five, I was like a chronically offline child, but like in the 2000s, like I was watching Let's Plays like back in 2007, 2008. So I was very on the internet.
They existed in 07, 08?
Yeah, there's a bunch of people I watch who started back then who still do stuff then. There's an anime I watched called Lucky Star. Mm-hmm. Shout out anyone who knows Lucky Star. It's a banger.
You're the OGs.
And I was, it's like the OG slice of life anime to me, at least.
Okay.
I was obsessed with it, and I Googled wallpapers one day and a cosplayer came up and I was like, I don't know what that is, but I want to do whatever that is. And then when the Japanese festival happened, I asked my Japanese teacher, like, is it okay to cosplay? And she was like, yeah. That'd be awesome. So I told my mom, and we went to Spotlight and we got some materials and we made me a little Seifuku Lucky Star style, and I wore it to my Japanese school festival.
Is,
and my Japanese
adorable.
Teacher was obsessed with me.
Oh my God, that is adorable. You're what, 10 years old?
Yeah.
Full shout out to Jem's mom being like a big supporter.
She's a hero.
Oh my God.
She's a hero. She comments on all of my Instagram posts. She's the number one supporter.
That's really cute. That's awesome.
And she made all of my family members, like my, when your family is not just your like mom and dad, what's that called? Your, like
extended
family.
You got it.
She made all my extended family go to the billboard in the city. She was like, Gem's on a billboard. You guys better go. And they did. And then they sent me photos.
So
my mom was like aggressively supportive.
To anyone who doesn't know, Gem was on a billboard in the city in her Jet cosplay from Valorant, and she was advertising. Yeah. I don't know what you were advertising. You were advertising the Gem.
I was advertising Melbourne Games Week. Melbourne Games Week. Yeah. So I was on a billboard. But yeah, basically what happened is I cosplayed from 2009 till I'm still cosplaying now. That's like, what, like 16 years?
Would you say cosplay at the time was like your main hustle, your main passion, your main hobby? That's like, yeah, this is what
it was until like mid-year last year. Casting is something I've wanted to do since 2018. Mm-hmm. But I, for a long time, was just a viewer of esports, like an enjoyer of esports. And then when I got further into my enjoyment from esports and I started to be insane about it, in a good way, but I was insane about it, I really wanted to cast, but I thought, like, I can't do that. It's probably really difficult. Like, I don't know where to start. Like, I don't know anyone who casts. Like, I don't know how to get into it. But then I did get into it. I learned it is very hard. It's the most difficult creative thing I think I've ever done in my life, but it's also the most fulfilling. So yeah, it's like, it's very worth.
So just on that as well, because through cosplay, obviously, you know, we make costumes, we meet people, there's all kinds of different things that we find from it, from, you know, creation of cosplay. Some people get into props, some people get into making games, some people get into music making. And obviously you went down the esports route. Into casting.
Yes.
And you mentioned that, yeah, how do I get into this? Where do I start? How did you kind of start with that? Because it doesn't seem like, you know, for example, oh, I want to become, I say this all the time, and I don't mean to beat down on accountants, but just for example, if you wanted to become an accountant, you go to university, you study accounting.
Yeah, and, it's very straightforward.
Yeah, straightforward. But for casting, there's no real kind of clear path because it is such a niche kind of thing to get into. So how did you kind of, I don't know, find that path, or how did you pave the way for yourself? What did you do?
Okay, so before I was casting, I was doing this thing called co-streaming, and co-streaming is where you there's kind of two kinds of co-streaming, which is that if you get permission from the game developer, you can have the game on your screen, and then you don't have the caster's audio, it's just your audio, and you get to like talk over the top of it. I obviously didn't get permission because I was a little bubby streamer, but what I did is I had like a time on the screen so you can make sure you're up to date with the video that you're watching, and then it would just be my VTuber and we would like all watch along, and it would be like a Twitch version of being in a Discord call watching the same like esports thing. So I did a decent amount of co-streams, and then I have some friends who are involved with Disconnected Esports, who is an Australian Overwatch esports organization.
Okay.
And they tweeted at some point or posted on Discord, I can't super remember, one of the two, saying, we need casters for a tournament. And I very reluctantly sent a message and I was like, hey, I've literally never casted before, but I've done co-streaming and I feel like that's like sort of similar. And I know a lot about Overwatch. So like, if you have like no one else, I will do it if there's no one else that is like available or interested in casting. And then they responded and they were kind of like, yeah, okay, like we'll let you know. And then like 2 weeks later, they were like, we don't have anyone else. Please, you have to do it. You have to do it. And then I did it. So that was my...
That's your foot
way
in the door.
Of getting into it.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, and then I did it, and first of all, terrifying.
Terrifying, okay.
Absolutely terrifying. Terrifying. And I was just, if you're thinking about getting into casting, never listen to your first cast. I still haven't listened to my first cast, and I never want to. I think the VOD doesn't exist. But I knew that I had moments of brilliance and moments of absolute poo-poo on my first day casting. Mm-hmm. But I had to cast like a whole tournament. So I was kind of like, okay, well, whatever. I have to wake up and do this again tomorrow. And so I kept going, and then I kept doing Overwatch for a few things. And then for Valorant, there were tweets going around being like, if you are a woman or a marginalized gender, like, could you like please contact XYZ? Mm. They're looking for people to do something Valorant related. I don't even know if it was Valorant. They might have just said Riot, and I think they said like Riot FPS. It was very vague, but I was like, I know exactly what thing they're doing because I'm very clued into the Valorant scene. And at the time, I was like, the way they phrased it was very like women only, and like I'm non-binary, so I was like, I don't know if I'm allowed to participate. Like I don't want to step on anyone's toes. And I was so awkward about it. And then someone messaged me, who's a good friend of mine, and was like, you have to do it. And I was like, I don't think I can. I think it's just for women, and a woman I'm not anymore. I gave that up a while ago. But I was like, I don't know if my non-binary ass can be in the whatever they're planning. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you should send an email anyway. and just see what happens.
Yep.
And so I sent the email. I was like, hey, I've never casted Valorant, but I've just finished casting an Overwatch tournament. I did not tell them it was my first.
No, no, you leave that out. That's fine.
I was like, I just casted a tournament. The boom. And then they eventually got back to me and they were like, we would love to have you. And then when I got put on board, the person I had been casting with for Overwatch was the person they brought on to do Valorant.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, that works out well. We can cast together. Mm. And then we did Valorant at PAX last year for the PAX Arena stage together. Also terrifying. That's the first like on stage cast I've ever done. Yeah. And also my first Valorant cast that I've ever done.
Yeah, wow.
So that's kind of how I got into it, is basically with Overwatch, I was very eager and I messaged, even though I was like, I don't think I'm qualified, but like, you should let me anyway.
Because I remember you, Valorant, you did a whole panel at DreamHack specifically about, right, if you want to get into esports, specifically like Overwatch, yeah, this is what you got to do.
Yeah.
And then Jem, you probably didn't see, it was brilliant. She did like a full, 40-page PowerPoint on just getting into esports, Overwatch specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something like 40, 50 slides, something around there. But yeah, it's so funny looking back because I had all this knowledge, mm-hmm, but I was still like, I don't think I know enough to cast. You do. 24-year-old me, you do. And probably like 22 and 23-year-old me, you do know enough to cast. You're just an AFAB person, so you don't have enough self-confidence. Like, you know how, like, when men see, like a job application, mm-hmm, and they don't fit all the criteria, mm-hmm, they apply. And yep, it's very common for women and anyone who's assigned female at birth to look at an application. If they don't fit like one word of a sentence, they don't just won't apply. It was very that. I was like, I'm not qualified to do this. And then when I started casting, I was like, damn, I'm kind of more qualified to do this than some other people.
I mean, you've probably figured out now. It's just a matter of, oh, am I going to fit the criteria? Maybe. I'm just going to apply anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as creators, like, the best thing you can do, no matter what, like, niche or industry you're in, is to, like, not be afraid to reach out. Like, just do it.
Just do it. I mean, here's a good example.
Legitimately.
Because you said...
Email someone.
Well, like you said, just on those emails, you actually mentioned, like, oh, you know, I don't do that as much for my streams, but with casting, I'm, you know, shooting out emails like crazy.
Yes.
Just on that, how many emails do you reckon you've actually sent out, you know, in the last 6 months?
I don't want to count.
Just off the top of your head.
Honestly, though, it's not many, like... like company, as in like I haven't sent many to multiple different companies because esports is kind of in a bad place at the moment.
Right.
But the emails I do send like end up being like long chains with like lots of things involved. Like I won't say who, but I sent an email to a company last week and I sent it to my co-caster Ricey and I was like, this would be very bold, but I think we should just email and ask if we can cast, even though it's like very much above like what our
experience like, levels like
ability.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what if we just emailed them? And Pricey was like, okay, well you can do that. You can be bold. I won't do it, but you can do it. And so I emailed, I didn't hear back for a couple of days. And then I heard back and it was mostly really good things. There wasn't anything bad. It was just like, they had some circumstances where we couldn't be a part of things immediately, but they were like, we are moving things behind the scenes so that you can be involved. So,
being bold is
number one strat.
I mean, all you have to do is, in this case, by the sound, just ask. The worst they can do is just say like no or not reply.
You have to have some talent and experience, but also just apply. Like what we were sending the email out, we did require some experience, but I won't say what game it was for, but the game that we sent it for, we've had experience with the developers who made the game, like doing tournaments for them.
So they
know us. And when we sent the email, the guy responded and he's like, oh yeah, I know you guys. And I was like, cool. That's good. That's good that they know us.
Do you feel like, because you said you don't do cosplay as much these days, but are you still kind of involved in the community doing things with cosplay related things, or mostly kind of gaming things these days, by the sense of it?
No, I'm I'm still cosplaying. It's been a part of my life for more than it hasn't, because I've done it from such a young age.
Yeah.
I'm hosting the Cosplay Cup at the Game Expo. I always cosplay at conventions. These days, it just is not every single day that I go to a con, but I do still cosplay. And I did Icon Photo Fest in September, which is a festival where you go down to Tasmania and shoot some stuff. And I really enjoyed that. So I'm cosplaying.
Where did you go? I just got back from Tasmania, like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
It was in Hobart. I loved it. I love Tasmania.
Oh my god. It was really nice. It was really nice.
The coffee is so good.
Oh,
it's so nice.
I'm off coffee right now. I'm trying to stay away from caffeine, but oh my god, I feel like I missed out because there was so much.
Yeah, and the coffee is really good. And the seafood's like excellent as well. Seafood. I love the seafood. It's unbelievable.
Oh my goodness. Like Tasmania, if anyone
has
a big
Hobart fan.
Oh, just visit Hobart.
Yeah, go to Tasmania. Don't go to Sydney, but you should go to Hobart instead. Unironically. Go to Hobart instead of Sydney.
Put it this way. I think people listening from Sydney is like, yeah, you know what? I'd rather go to Hobart at this point in time, but
I like Hobart. It's really peaceful. I loved it.
It's very chill. I think it's very chill. I think
it's very chill. It's very different to Melbourne.
Well, I think this thing with Melbourne, I feel like there's lots of events happening. There's lots of functions. There's lots of industry.
Yes, Melbourne is crazy. It's bustling.
There's stuff to do. Yeah,
it's bustling.
I think Hobart's a place you go to if you want like something more chill, something more relaxed. It's more community-based. It's more local, populous kind of thing.
Chill, but with the city, because sometimes, like, I'm a city person, and when I want to go to on holidays, I want to go to a different city. But then you go and you're like, oh, it's so busy. But when you're in Hobart, you're like, oh my god, there's no cars on the road in the city on a Saturday. Awesome. This is great.
I tell you, a little horror story. It was a Thursday night, maybe? Okay. And so we accidentally slept in the afternoon, and then we woke up at 8:30. I was like, all right, that's fine. We'll go have a feed. Everything is shut by 9 o'clock. It was impossible. So, oh man, we walked to a pie face at a petrol station. It's like, nope, doors didn't open. Went to a restaurant that said they were open. There was people in there, but they didn't open the door. We had ham sandwiches from Woolworths at the side of the road at 11 p.m.
Oh,
it was,
my God.
It was depressing.
Well,
so,
at least you can go to Woolworths, because Adelaide? Nope, you're not getting Woolworths after 6 p.m. We were there for Avcon last year.
Right.
Myself and some other wonderful cosplayers. And we went to Woolies at 5:30 p.m. on a Friday, and it was closed.
What?
And we lost our minds because we were like, what do you mean it's closed?
Is this like a suburban one?
So Adelaide is
the
worst for that.
Suburban one or like a...
It was in the middle of the city.
Okay, that's weird.
It was in the middle of the city. It was the CBD Woolworths.
What the hell? Wait, Adelaide, what's going on?
Because in Melbourne, everything closes like pretty late. Like, it's not as good as like overseas, for example. Like, I've been to Korea a lot, and everything in Korea, like, coffee closes at like 3 a.m.
What?
But like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
it's so good. It's so good for night owls in Korea. I love it there. Like, if you're a morning person, it sucks because nothing opens till like 12 p.m. But if you're a late person like me. Like, yeah, you can get coffee super late. You can get boba till like 3 a.m.
That's
as
amazing.
Well.
What the hell? I thought Japan was pretty good because Japan was open. Like, most things were open till, 10, 11, 12 at night, which is, you know, not bad.
Yeah, no, South Korea slams Japan. This is my hottest take ever. I think everyone should visit Korea. If you're doing a Japan trip, go to Korea also. But I like Korea so much more than I like Japan.
Look, you are an
really
esports person, and that's like the hub of esports.
I've been on exchange to Japan, and it will be my fourth time in Japan at the end of this year, and I've been to Korea twice, and I like Korea so much more than Japan.
So why are you going back to Japan then?
I like both of them. I mean, it's literally an hour flight to either, if you're in Japan to Korea or Korea to Japan.
Yeah,
so if you're visiting either country, just also visit the other one. Just tack it on.
Just because.
Why not?
Why not? So what are you going
just
for
because.
This time? Good job.
Okay, so I'm going twice. I'm going once in August because Valorant Champions Tour, which is like the world's, if you're familiar with League of Legends, it's the world's of Valorant, is in Seoul this year.
Yeah, wow.
And I think that's the closest it will ever come to Australia. So I'm going to I'm going to go up for a week and see all the matches I can and then just dip back home. And then sometime later in the year, I'm going on a friendship trip with my friends to Korea and Japan, and they've never been to Korea before, and I'm pretty well traveled through Korea, and it's a hard place to travel. So yeah, I'm going to like guide them through everything.
Interesting. Okay. So Japan's pretty easy to travel. I've been there once and I didn't
trouble. Korea is hard. If you are further than 20 minutes outside of the city, good luck. It's what I would say.
As in just like what? No internet, no English, no anything? Or?
Oh, no. Internet is amazing. It slams Japan. It's like, I think the fastest speed in Asia, maybe. It's crazy. But English is a struggle outside of the city. And if you are vegetarian or vegan, extremely difficult outside of the city. I would say like 10 minutes outside of the city, you're going to struggle.
Wow. Interesting.
I'm pescatarian, so I eat fish, so I was totally fine. But if you're vegetarian or vegan, maybe don't be if you're going to Korea.
It's actually like a little bit like that in Japan too, actually. You know, there's options, it's tough.
Yeah, again, it's way easier if you're pescatarian, like, because you can just have udon, you can have soba, because, like, there's fish sauce in it generally.
Yeah.
That's totally fine for me. But I struggle with ramen in Japan because all of the broths are pork broths.
Right.
And I found vegetarian ramen places hard to find.
Yeah, it's not their specialty, I think.
That's just me. Yeah. Ramen is also not my favorite Japanese dish or even close, so I don't really care that much. I would rather have udon. Just give me udon.
Udon all the time. No, udon's nice. I like that.
I love udon. It's like refreshing. Ramen, I'm like, oh my God, it feels like I'm eating a pizza.
It can be
so
heavy.
Much sodium in
it. Yeah, it's very salty. Yeah, it can be very
it's
heavy.
It's crazy. But udon, I'm like, I'm refreshed. Everything's good. I'm back to normal.
Back to normal.
It's like having a walk on the beach. I don't know.
Goals for this year. So you've got, obviously, your streaming interest that you've kind of gotten into. It sounds like you've just started to get the ball rolling with that in the last year or two. Is that something that you kind of want to, like you said, if you could ditch everything else and just do casting, that's what you would do. Is that something that you see, or just for yourself personally, is that something that you see as something that you can do within the next few years? Or
I would say, I tweeted this on my private Twitter account, which no one has access to, so please don't ask.
You're telling us about now.
Yeah, it's true. But I tweeted and I said that I genuinely feel like casting is my career path, and every single opportunity that I've done has opened several doors. And it's like a mind map where like when I open one, three shoot open, and then I open another and then another three
That's
shoot
awesome.
Open and then six open under that. Like every, like my problem with cosplay, and this is for me specifically, is that I don't do competitions. Like, I'm not a competition crafter. I used to do competitions back in the day, but I don't really do that anymore. And so I felt like with what I could do with the cosplay in Australia, I had done everything that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it didn't take me that long of trying hard to do everything that I wanted to do.
Mm.
Whereas esports is like, it's hard to get opportunities, but once you do, they just keep coming and coming. And there's so much potential, which I feel like, for me with cosplay, doesn't really have.
Mm.
Like, I could just, you know, I could be like, oh, I'll get 50,000 followers on Instagram or whatever.
Yeah.
But casting is more about, like, the projects you do, how good of a job you do at it, rather than, like, reach or engagement or anything like that. It's more about how good of a job you do, which I, like, massively prefer. But, yeah, I think casting, in 2 years, you should see me as, like, maybe not a full-time caster, but at least a part-time caster on some sort of league. Like,
that's cool.
Like, we are getting offers. People know about us. Developers of the games of the esports know about us and like us. So, and when I say us, I mean me and my co-caster, Ricey. We're like a two-for-one deal. Like, we only ever scout opportunities for both of us. We never inquire just for one of us. We're always like, hey, we're interested. Like, I'm interested in doing this thing. It has to be with this person, though. Like, we are a doer. Please put us together.
How did that form? Because does that simply from you happens to be casting together at the Overwatch
echelon?
And it's just kind of gone from there.
Ricey was casting the whole tournament, the Disconnected Esports tournament. And she was in Melbourne that month for PAX. Mm-hmm. And she said, she was like, oh, where are you in Melbourne? And I told her, and she was like, oh, that's literally 5 minutes from the place I'm staying. That works really well. I want to cast in person with you. Like, I think our first one was online, but the last couple where she came over to my house and we casted from this room. Just because, like, you get that energy in person that you don't really get, like, online. Like, Ricey will, like, grab my arm sometimes when she's, like, getting excited. And, like, shenanigans happen and it makes it, like, just a bit more fun.
Yeah.
So she came over and did that. And initially she was like, yeah, like, we just picked you because, like, you're close nearby. And then eventually she was like, I want to be your co-casting partner. And I was like, okay, I think we're a really good match for what we do. And yeah, it was just kind of luck that she ended up being the Valorant person as well. And I think when we both saw that we were on board, we were both like, whew, okay, we've already casted before. We already have some chemistry together. And, like, a big part of casting is, like, the art of dancing around each other and not interrupting, but also knowing when it's your time to go in. It's very difficult, but it's fun. And the more you cast with someone regularly, the better you get at doing that. So when we got to Valorant, we were like, our game knowledge isn't 100% there, but our actual casting is pretty good because we've casted together a lot.
So you can kind of bounce off each other and know when those pauses in your speeches. I'm going to speak there and without speaking over the top of each other.
It's
and
actually,
stuff like that.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult. And I struggle with it a lot, but we have, like, sort of rules for the different games we do on how much talking both of us are supposed to do. So Overwatch, I think we initially said like 60-40, Ricey talks most of the time and then I talk less. Just for clarification, Ricey does play-by-play. So if you don't know anything about esports or sports, that's the person who just says what's happening. Who's going like, this person just used this ability. Oh my God, they just killed this person. Team kill, whatever.
Yep.
And then my job is I'm a color caster slash an analyst. So I come in, I'm like, okay, why did that happen? Let's break it down. Let's understand what's going to happen in the next round.
Interesting.
So I'm doing the analysis and she's doing the, this is happening right now.
Yeah, right.
Stuff. So in Overwatch, we initially strived for 60-40, 55-50, me speaking less, her speaking a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And Valorant, I think we initially were like 80-20 because Valorant is super play-by-play heavy.
Yeah.
And then the color caster talks way less because, like,
the rounds Valorant go quite quick too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Valorant action is quite long-winded, whereas fights in Overwatch are very frantic but pretty quick.
Mm.
So Overwatch is very, like, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But Valorant is all about, like, establishing, like, a slower pace and you want to build tension. So like in Overwatch, we talk like 24/7, but in Valorant, we purposefully stop talking to create silence, to create tension and build up the moment of like anticipation of what's going to happen.
Okay.
But we're trying to make it closer to 50-50. I think we'll end up doing 60-40 and we're definitely like 35-65 right now.
The numbers don't matter too much. You're doing your best.
There are some Valorant casters who instead of doing the 80-20 are trying to do a 50-50. And as a viewer, I like that more. And it definitely suits our casting style more. As I said earlier, though, very difficult to do 50-50 because you do really need to know exactly when someone's going to be finished with their point. But you also need to know that action isn't going to randomly start happening. Like, that's the problem I have as a color caster is sometimes something will have happened and I want to explain why that happened, but then someone will just get headshot. And I'm like, okay, well, the moment's not done yet. Like, it's not my turn yet. I have to shut up and Ricey has to keep going.
So is Ricey a cosplayer as well? Yeah. And they kind of fell into casting as well? Is that kind of what happens?
Ricey, I think she's streaming is her main thing, 100%. Like, she's a streamer. She's a big streamer. She's been streaming for a long, long time. When I think about Ricey, I think she is a streamer. She also loves casting. I know she's been casting and hosting for a while as well. I think she has cosplayed here and there, and we definitely joke about getting her into cosplay like a fair bit, but she's more of a streamer for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So just around all of that, so you say cosplay, you know, magically, and I don't think many of us can say by 25, I've reached all my cosplay goals that I've kind of wanted to reach. Because it's definitely one of those things. I've had discussions with people before and say, you know, cosplay does have, I think to a majority of us, it does have a time limit. And it's either going to be, you'll either lose interest or, you know, like you said, you reach all the goals that you wanted to reach. And after that, you know, you go to cons and it's pretty much the same con year in, year out, maybe something different. And that's kind of where, you know, cosplay stops having that magic, I think, that it used to, because it's something you've done before. Does it feel like that for you at the moment now, where the, you know, what that fun it used to have is kind of, oh, you know, I've done everything I wanted to, I'll do it if I feel like it, but I'm not gonna, you know, bend over backwards and bust my ass the night before trying to get something done. Is that kind of how it feels for you at the moment?
It's very much that. I think another issue for me is that when I'm really hyper fixated on media that like is cosplayable, I go crazy with cosplay.
Right.
But if I'm into things that I can't cosplay or are not very cosplay centric, now that I'm reeled back on that and I'm not doing like, I used to have a Patreon where I would do like monthly cosplay sets.
Yeah.
Now that I don't have to do things like that, I only do it when there's that spark of like, oh my God, I love this thing and I want to cosplay this thing. But I, for a while now, haven't really had any interests that are in that category.
Yeah.
So I only really cosplay if I super, super want to, or if I'm paid to.
Right. No, that's fair.
If I'm paid to cosplay, I will do it. But like, I remember last year there was a League of Legends watch party finals, and people were like, oh, you're going? You should cosplay. And I was like, I am not cosplaying unless they pay me. Like, you can't make me do that. It was like a 35 degree day. I was like, I'm not doing it unless they pay me. Like, I'm coming in general gem.
General gem. I like clothes. That.
Like, I'm not cosplaying. So if I'm cosplaying, it's because I'm super interested in something, or I'm at a convention and I just felt like cosplaying. Like, I have some cosplays that like, where I'm not into that particular media as much. The actual cosplay is really nice quality. And so maybe I haven't done it before and it's been a while and I want to like try it out again, but I'm over the like, watch media to cosplay from, like watch media to get an idea to cosplay from, order a cosplay, do it one or two times, move on to the next media. Yeah. Like I'm over it.
Is it just get to the stage? Cause I've gotten to the stage now where I pretty much have done, I think I've extended it past its, past where I think I've done everything I've wanted to do. I think WCS was definitely the, you know, cream.
Yes,
on,
that
cream
makes
on top.
Sense.
So I've gone into my stash. It's like, oh, I might wear this one day. I might wear this one day. And I've quite literally just picked up, you know, about 14, 20 costumes and just thrown them in the bin because that's it. It's like you said.
I have to do that. I also have to do that.
Oh, it's hard because like, yeah, you know, this is still good. Maybe I'll wear it again. But, you know, in reality, once you have worn it once or twice and you've gotten your photos, there's not really much else to do with it, really. So are you the kind of person who has like...
I'm giving them to...
Oh, you give them away, do you?
Yeah, I try and give them away to specifically friends so that I can see them using it and I know that it's gone to someone who's going to get like
good use,
good
of it.
Mileage
out
of it. Yeah.
Well, that's fair.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, like, what are some costumes that you feel like, yeah, what was the like the last couple that you said, yeah, I bought this, worn it once or twice, and it's like, oh, yeah, no, that I shouldn't have done that.
Okay, let's...
Oh, you got a list here. Okay.
Let's look at the... No. I need to look at my Instagram because every time people ask me cosplay questions, I forget what I've cosplayed.
Okay.
Because I've been doing it so long and I've done so many, it's just like...
What are some cosplays that you think you'll keep because they've got... popular things, right?
Tubi has to stay. Like, she's... not everyone knows this because I think most people found me after I started cosplaying Tubi. But one of my initial, like, sparks in the cosplay community and blowing up and going viral was 2B and doing near cosplays. That was, like, my whole thing in 2019. And that's what I was known for in the Melbourne cosplay scene, was doing all this JRPG cosplay, but particularly in near. Okay. So I would keep 2B for sure.
Yep.
I would definitely keep this man, Nogito Komaida.
I see that's pins. That's pins there. beautiful?
he's my silly little man. Because it's just a very meaningful cosplay for me. I mean, the wig was done by Jasmine Koss, who's an excellent cosplayer from Queensland, and also a good friend of mine. And it's that wig is like phenomenal. Like, it's the best wig I own. I love it very much. But also, like, that cosplay was kind of like a gender awakening for me. It was like, I remember putting that cosplay on and I was like, I have some things to think about.
Yeah, wow.
I have some things to think about. Because when I put Venti on, I was like, okay, well, this is like, okay, Venti is a pretty feminine sort of cosplay. I mean, he's got tights on. He's got like
Venti from,
little short shorts.
From Genshin, yeah?
Genshin Impact.
Yeah.
And he's got like little braids. So to me, I was like, I'm cosplaying a boy, but it's very feminine. And like, that's just like, it just feels not that weird to me. It feels pretty normal. But then when I started doing the more masculine cosplay characters, I was like, shit, shit, I have to actually think about like what this means for me. It sparked something within me.
Yeah,
so
there's
a couple male cosplayers that I would keep forever. And one of them is Nagito and the other one is Albedo from Genshin Impact. Cause that was another one that I wore and I was like, oh yes. Like, this is exactly like how I feel mentally is what the cosplay looks like. So that one,
that
meant
being
a lot
said,
for
actually,
me.
What would you do with a lot of your femme presenting ones, like Jets or Killjoy or Kiriko?
Honestly, to me, it's like doing drag.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like I'm dressing as a woman. Mm. I'm like dressing as a drag queen.
Yeah, right.
So like,
okay.
I do feel more comfortable in Killjoy and Jet because like, if you take the wig away, they're pretty like androgynous cosplays. Like, they're both pants with some sort of top that isn't sexual whatsoever. It's like Killjoy's outfit is pants, a backpack, a jacket, and a t-shirt, and a beanie. that's a guy outfit. Like, and Jet's is like pretty similar, where it's very streetwear, so it doesn't feel that like outside my comfort zone. But
absolutely.
Even the super super femme ones, I've always done my makeup with drag in mind anyway, so it feels more like performance rather than like, this is how I identify.
Yeah,
it's
right.
More like,
okay,
I'm doing drag.
It does. I've obviously not in that position, so I don't really know how I think of it. But that's a really interesting way of looking at it. Do you have anything that's coming up that you are making that you're like, okay, you know what? Yeah, I'm hyper into this at the moment. But is anything coming to mind?
I definitely have some Valorant cosplays planned. I'm very much in Valorant hell in the moment. At the moment, I'm planning to do Iso. He's one of the newest Valorant characters. He's a bit of an e-boy, and his outfit, I remember when he was revealed, everyone was like, Jem would wear that. And I was like, I would wear I would wear that.
Valorant Iso. Oh, that's the duelist that takes him to the Shadow Realm to fight for 10 seconds or something, right?
Yeah. Yes, that guy. And he drinks boba. What an icon. Me too. I also take people to the Shadow Realm and drink boba and wear a hoodie and get no sleep and an e-boy. Like, it's me.
Wow.
But I love comfort cosplays, and that one looks so comfy to me. It's literally a hoodie and pants. And it's Valorant. It's Valorant, so it works perfectly.
When you cast, do you also wear cosplay, or like, especially when you're on stage?
No. I really don't like mixing the two. I had to last year.
Okay.
Not cosplay, but when we posted the PAX Arena casters, I don't have any photos of me casting, and so I was like, I will submit a Jet cosplay photo.
Yeah, right.
But I really don't like mixing the two because I feel like people take you less seriously as a caster if you're in cosplay. And also, when we cast, particularly on stage at like a LAN event, we have all this like really important technical gear that like wigs get in the way of can make it more uncomfortable and like makes like costume malfunctions be like much significantly more of an issue.
Right.
So when I cast at cons, that is my no cosplay day. Like, that's my, I'm wearing casual clothes, I am not putting a wig on.
Do you have a fit that you like to wear when you go casting?
Oh, it actually depends on the game. So in casting, generally, they have a look per game. It's really interesting. I find the League of Legends casters very millennial. Like, they'll wear suits and like gowns, and it's very like professional.
Yeah, interesting.
And then Overwatch is like, oh my God, I don't know, like business casual, I would say. Like button-up shirts, but like a fun pattern. And like maybe like it's more funky, but it's like still professional.
That's really
and
interesting.
And then Valorant, everyone dresses how I dress in my personal life, which is like a bit edgy in streetwear. Like people have like lots of necklaces and like bracelets, and like they might have black nail polish on, and they'll have like a denim jacket or like a really interesting top. Like everyone wears
that's
very
so
cool
interesting
streetwear things for Valorant because they're trying to market it people like Gen Z, to Zoomers. They want to be seen as cool. And that's how I dress. So I remember when we were doing the PAX Arena thing, we were explaining to the Riot people, like, this is what we're wearing. Is that okay? And they looked at me with what I was wearing for the dress rehearsal, and it was just like an outfit I put on to leave the house. And they were like, that's great. You should just wear that. And I was like, this is what I wear every day of my life.
Yeah, sweet. I'll be back at 6 and I won't change.
Yeah. And with Ricey, they were like, edge it up a little bit because she was going like a bit more professional. And they were like, yeah, make it a little bit more edgy. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, wow. Before you kind of got into casting, you were obviously still cosplaying. Yep. What other kind of interests were kind of, you know, getting flipped up in your mind of, oh, you know, what should I do next? Because obviously, like you said, casting's only been something that you've really started to pursue a lot more actively in the last couple of years. But were you pursuing anything else before that, that kind of, you know, maybe had your attention or was like, you know, I suppose this would be something to go down before casting kind of got you?
I think a lot of people think that I started streaming last year, which isn't true. I started streaming January 2020 and I streamed all of 2020 and most of 2021. And then I took like a year off. And so when I started streaming as a VTuber, it was a big change, but I was very much feeling like it was the right decision. Yeah. And I was really enjoying streaming for like the first time really. And I sort of thought about it then, but I was also like, I'm a cosplayer and a VTuber. That's very typical of VTubers. So I didn't really like give it a second thought. Mm. It was honestly like the first time I had like, I don't know if I want to cosplay anymore feelings was at PAX last year.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is only October. So this is like a pretty recent development for me. Mm. And the reason, well, not necessarily the reason, but it was the first con I did, like, the majority of my focus was not cosplay. Yeah. I was in cosplay for 2 days.
Yeah.
But I was casting. I had a panel to do that was not cosplay related whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I was networking with a lot of streamers and companies, and cosplay was, like, the last thing on my mind. And the thing that, like, really tipped it for me is I had it officially with nasty cosplayers at that con.
Right.
That was the con where I was like, I'm just done. Like, I don't want to interact with these people anymore because I was with someone who's not in the cosplay community walking around and they saw me interacting with people who have been mean to me and I was being really nice. And when we left, they were like, why were you being nice to those people? And I was like, well, you know, reputation's important and it's good to just be nice to people, even if you don't like them, whatever. Mm-hmm. They were like, that's so weird. Like, if they're mean to you, you don't have to give them the time of day. And when I juxtaposed talking to cosplayers with talking to streamers, I had a big moment of like, people who stream are so much more mature and they're generally a little bit older. So they have like a mortgage, children, like they have other things in their life that isn't getting likes on Instagram or TikTok.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes I feel like cosplay more recently has become, I don't know, toxic is maybe not the right word, but it's become an entirely different beast to what I joined it
for. Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think I would notice if I was a smaller cosplayer, but at PAX and other cons, I had people trying to schmoozy up to me to get opportunities who are not friends with me.
Yeah.
And then they started telling people like, oh, I'm friends with Jem, so you should let me do XYZ.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
Then when I found out about that, first of all, I was mad. But then secondly, I told everyone on stream that that happened. And then we started the hashtag friends with Jem. And so I made everyone say that they were friends with me so that if someone says, I'm friends with Jem, it means literally nothing. It's literally a meme on my Twitch channel. So that's how Friends with Jem was born.
Wow.
And if anyone follows my VTuber account, our official hashtag for posting about my VTuber is hashtag friends with Cell. And Cell's the name of my VTuber. So that's hashtag cute. Friends with Jem.
Friends with Jem. Wow. It doesn't mean anything anymore, Jem, to be a friend. It doesn't mean anything.
It does. But not if you're going to be like, I want to work with this company and I'm friends with Jem, so you should just let me because we're friends.
That's crazy.
I can't believe people do that. Like, I'm not the messiah. I'm literally just a little guy. Like, I literally put wigs on. It's so bizarre to me.
I think it's definitely one of those things in which, you know, you do have a little bit of a platform because it's not that you haven't been working at it. It's not that you haven't been, you know, actively pursuing it, but you've just been doing what you enjoy doing. And it so happens that what you enjoy doing has managed to, you know, help you network with people, help you meet other cool people and get these cool opportunities rather than just, oh, I'm really good friends with this famous cosplayer and therefore you should also give me opportunity. Like, oh my God. It's
very weird.
That's crazy.
It's a bit funny. It's very weird.
I think, well, actually, I'd like your opinion too. Do you think it's because, you know, in this day and age, 2024 versus 2014, for example, everybody has gotten a social media account, and if it's something you want to pursue, there are definitely more opportunities now than there were 10 years ago in the cosplay sphere. So it's like, oh, well, let's get some likes, let's get some networking done, and maybe I can also become that famous cosplayer. And do you kind of feel that's how it is?
Yeah, not with everyone. And I also feel this way about casting. And I'm going to be really mean for a second.
Here we go.
Which is that I think that there are some people who get into casting. This is honestly more of a casting problem than cosplaying. There are a lot of people who start casting to help their streaming career because they think if they can become friends with the developers of the game, that they'll be able to get their stream sponsored by insert game here. And if people know them from casting, that people will watch their stream. I would say it is a non-substantial problem in casting. Cosplay, I think people really want that social media fame and will do anything to have it. Not everyone, but there are certainly a genre of cosplayers. And it's not wrong to want notoriety for the things that you've done and for the talent that you have. I don't think there's any problem with doing that. But I think focusing more on the social media aspect than the enjoyment you have in the hobby that you're posting about is a little bit weird. It's not the end of the world, but it just seems like a strange priority. Like when I started doing cosplay, I started cosplaying because I saw people and I thought they were cool and I thought that it would be fun.
Yeah.
And then when I started posting cosplay, I was watching, oh my God, this is like deep cosplay shit, but in like 2010, there were cosplayers who would like cosplay. They would all cosplay and it would be like a group of them. And then they would just like pretend to be those characters and just film YouTube videos. And they'd go to like the park or they'd order pizza, but they'd be in character the whole time. And I was like so intensely obsessed with like some particular YouTubers who did this. And I was like, I want to be in character pretending to be L from Death Note with my friends. Are you kidding me? That sounds awesome. As opposed to, I want to post this on the like social media and get likes. I was like, that looks fun. Like that looks like a silly, fun thing to do. And I loved those videos and they made me laugh, but it didn't make me think like, oh, wow, what an easy way for me to become successful in this hobby. I think TikTok and more than TikTok, lockdown and COVID did this to cosplay. Like even in 2019, people had like cost cards, but that's the extent of like social media pushing. Whereas like now I don't know how I feel about it. It feels very, I see people get so upset if their posts don't reach like an amount of likes or reach. And I used to be that way as well.
Yeah.
But in my personal defense, it was like my core business. And so if I didn't hit like a certain number, I was like, well, I'm just getting less money this month than I would be. When I was doing Patreon, if I was posting my Patreon posts and they did shit, I would genuinely see a huge drop in income. But if you're just posting and not getting money, I think like, this is so cheesy, but like enjoy the journey more than like
more than the destination.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think social media should be viewed as a way to, like, show your art and the things you've done and to be silly and have fun with and meet new people that you can also be silly and have fun with, rather than, like, I don't know, to be an influencer. Being an influencer is not that fun, guys. I'm an influencer. It's not fun.
Why are you doing it, Jeff? Fun.
Well, I like aspects of it, but it's not everything it's cracked up to be. I don't know. I think people just want validation. I think some people are maybe not insecure, but they're just seeking validation, and social media is the way that they want that validation. And it's okay. I used to be like this also, but now I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Look, like, I think you've just learned. You've grown. You've gone through that era of, you know, making a costume, wearing it, getting those likes, and now you're like,
yeah,
I get the likes, maybe I don't get the likes, but I still feel the same. Like, I don't feel any more or less of a person if I do or don't have those likes. So
no, sometimes the only times I'll get upset if it's like a post that means a lot to me and I love dearly gets like shadow banned or something, I'll be like, that sucks.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough.
If it's just a normal cosplay post, okay, it's a photo of me in a wig. Who cares?
Well, that being said,
there's going to be more. It doesn't matter.
For anyone who is, let's break this into two. So both for cosplayers and also for streamers. Well, let's say in this case, casters. For anyone who is, let's start with casters. Anyone who's a streamer or a caster, just like yourself, if you had to give your two cents of advice to them, what would that be?
Okay, casting. Do it because you love it and because you love esports. Okay. Imagine if you became a cosplayer but you hated cosplay and you were doing it because you wanted people who are game developers to email you. That's a weird champ to me. Like, do a thing because you like doing it, not for an ulterior motive, because especially with streaming, if you are streaming but you have some sort of other motive you're going for that isn't to have fun on stream, you're going to have a bad time. Like, streaming takes a lot of energy and time. And you should only do it if you're enjoying it. And that's why I stopped streaming for a year, because I wasn't enjoying it. And then I changed what my stream was and I came back to enjoying it. So I think, like, pursue enjoyment and do things because you like it, not because of social media, not because of attention from specific people. You should do it because it's fun. And there certainly are career opportunities, and I won't, like, shy away from that. If you want career opportunities in that field, that's great. But, like, you're not going to get there if you don't have the passion and love for it, because it shows in your work. If you, I don't know, cosplay some character and you've never heard of the source material and people come up to you all day excited to talk to you about XYZ, they're going to be a little disappointed. And yeah, I don't know. I just think, like, authenticity and doing things because you love them, as cheesy as that is genuinely, like, the best way to go about things, even if you are really set on getting a career in that industry.
Let's clip that. I don't know if we can clip that. I'll clip it myself. That was awesome.
Clip it, chat.
So basically, it is just do things because you like it, first and foremost. And if opportunities come, or you chase those opportunities because you enjoy it, great. But don't go for the opportunities if you don't like
doing it.
Don't
force it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just saw my dog's ear. She's, like, right down here. shout out Kira, my doggie. I just wish people had a little bit more enjoyment about, like, the things that they do, and they didn't take it so seriously. Like, I love being an idiot on stream, and I'm not saying everyone has to be stupid on stream, but I think, like, letting go, especially for streaming, like, is, like, the best thing you can do for yourself. Sometimes I see VTubers who have, like, a very specific persona with, like, a lot of lore, and they're stuck in that lore and persona, but because they're stuck in it, they're, like, thinking too much about, like, what they should say or how they should act. And I did that my first week of streaming. I had this whole dramatic lore, and then I was like, fuck it, dude. I'm a wizard who has a rat. That's it.
Done.
That's the lore. I live in space. That's it.
I'll make it up
Done.
As I go.
And then I never talk about... Yeah, I don't talk about the lore ever again. Like, and I just be stupid. And I remember someone in my Discord, like, months ago was like, when you just started being dumb on stream, it made streams so much better. And I was like, I fully agree. So I think don't take content creation too seriously. And like, if you look at my reels, for example, the only ones that ever get attention, and some of them do quite well, is when I'm having a laugh, if I'm making a little joke, if I'm being silly, if I'm not being serious. If I make a serious, like, short form video, no one cares. But if I do something silly, something authentic, people are like, fuck yeah. So it's proof. It's literally proof. The last reel of mine that went viral was literally me and my best friend, Harley, Classy Pollux, everyone shout out, follow him on Twitter. His Twitter is the funniest thing I've ever seen. It was us in our hotel room in Tasmania in our Fire Emblem cosplays dancing because we were excited about the photo shoot and how cool we looked and about how much we love Fire Emblem. We were just dancing and be like, yeah. And then I filmed it and then I posted it and people were like, so true. And then they tagged their cosplay bestie. So just authenticity. Be authentic.
Authenticity. It's beautiful.
Yeah, seriously.
Would you say, and would you pass on that same message to people in cosplay, I suppose, as well, the two cents of people who are either doing cosplay or,
you know,
having second thoughts about continuing cosplay? Kind of, what would
do cosplay because you love it. I was meaning that part to be about cosplay as well. Casting is kind of a separate thing where I would say, like, having fun is good, but like you should know what you're talking about, and like that's not it's like a little bit different to the other two because how good you do is not based on entertainment factor necessarily. It's like a part of it, but like you need to have a certain amount of knowledge and you need to be good at what you do. Whereas I feel like cosplay and streaming, you don't have to be a technically good cosplayer or so, like streamer to have fun. You can just be silly and have fun, and you can with casting as well. But like it's kind of a different. It's kind of a different thing because when you cosplay in your stream, 99% of the time you're doing it for yourself. But when you cast, you're working for a company or an organization, makes it look a little bit more difficult. But yeah, cosplayers, if you're like second guessing it, I think taking a break from cosplay is a legitimately good idea. Like take a back step for like however long you need and then jump in when you get the itch, because then when you get the itch, it's going to feel so much better because you actually want to do it and you're not forcing yourself to do it. And if you've never cosplayed for the first time, it's not that serious. It's really not that serious. Like, you've probably worn Halloween costumes before, or like, you've probably worn a wig at a sports day at some point. Like, it's not that grandiose. You're just wearing a thing. You're wearing fabric and like fibers on your head. It's not that serious. Jim, you can start at any second.
You've probably been there as well, where it's like, oh no, it's not the right shade of red. Or it's like, oh no, I don't have the right eyeliner. You get like really nitpicky with yourself, and then at the end of the day, you realize, God, I was worrying for nothing. Like that.
Who cares?
That no one cared.
No.
It was just me.
No.
So.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Literally. Yeah. I used to be super, super. This is like a whole other discussion. But for most of my cosplay journey, I was really focused on accuracy. Mm. And if it wasn't accurate, if my makeup wasn't game accurate, I was like, this is terrible. And then I met the wonderful Peck Yams. Shout out Peck Yams. She doesn't really cosplay as much anymore, but she's a Melbourne cosplay icon and a Danganronpa cosplay icon. And she always came from a perspective of creativity and doing whatever the fuck you want. And also, like, you're not going to perfectly replicate an anime character. That's a drawing. Do whatever you think will work. And that, like, really expanded how I feel about things. And it was uncomfortable the first times I cosplayed and wasn't perfectly accurate. But then, like, I kind of branched out and I enjoyed it more because I was like adding bits of myself to the cosplay and thinking about things of like, you know, they're not drawn this way, but I think the character would have XYZ. Like Shoto, who's a VTuber who I've cosplayed a lot, he doesn't have black nails in any of his fan art, I don't think. Maybe like one or two, and none of his official art has it. But I always get my nails painted black every single time I cosplay him, like, because I'm like, thing. He would.
Yeah.
He would. He does in person, like his real life, like him, he does have black nail polish on. So I was like, even though the VTuber doesn't, I'm going to whack it on because I think he would.
Just because.
Yeah.
Just
I think,
because.
I think that's, yeah, just because. Podcast. I think like being creative with your cosplays and doing what you want, regardless if it's accurate or not, is like kind of the most fun way to cosplay. But I understand if you're a competition person, it's not that easy. But if you don't do competitions, fuck it.
Just like, fuck it. Chill with it.
Do what you want.
Oh, good advice. Jem, I don't know how we did it, but fuck, that went so fast. But that's our podcast.
I know. I told you I can talk.
It went by so fast, so fun. Did you enjoy it? Was that a fun little chat?
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. I like talking. Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. Jem, one last thing. Where can we find your socials if we want to kind of look at more of your stuff? Where would we find it?
Okay. So on all platforms except for Twitch, I am the Jem Cosplay. Jem is G-E-M. And then on Twitch, I am Celestra E-N. If you can't find that, then go to all my links or one of my social medias and it should be around there. But yeah, you can find me on every platform. I'm pretty easy to find, I reckon.
I'll chuck you all my links in the description of this podcast, yeah, and this video as well. So
no, put my Instagram in there because it has all my other links in there.
Instagram, that's the colorful, fun one to look at.
Yeah, it's also the most followed.
There you go. There you go.
You want to put your main account first. Social media manager things. You want to put your biggest numbers first.
There we go. We'll learn a bit more about social media stuff another time, I think. But other than that, thank you for spending an evening just chatting and learning a bit about
worries.
You. I know you a lot better now, which is like, wow. They had stories to tell. It's cool. Thanks very much for joining us.
There's lots of gem lore.
Thank you.
No, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great.
I appreciate it.
We will. Look, if you guys liked what you heard from Jem, give them a follow. Look at all their stuff. And if you'd like to listen to more, if there's anyone else you'd like to listen to, let me know in the comments, because that way I can actually send them an email. Whether or not they'll reply or not, that's a different question. But like Jem said, we just got to try anyway, don't we?
Yeah, you just got to do it. Just got to do it.
But, so thanks to anyone who has tuned in this far to the podcast. We're going to keep going with it. Like I said, if there's anyone you want to see, let me know, and we'll do our best to keep this ball rolling. But other than that, thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you next week. Thanks again, Jem, for joining in. And
no worries.
That's it. We'll see you around. Bye.
Goodbye.